Hi, welcome to Bikescape, episode number 34, November 14th, 2005. Portuguese out there, you can tell me what that means. But I guess we already know, because it's La Groove de Bicicleta, Samba Guru featuring Katia Moraes, Brazil. So it's speaking the international language of bicycling, I guess. So hi everybody, it's been a long time since I've spoken to you, almost 2 weeks, and I'm sorry about that. It's hard sometimes, you know, raising a family and working and just all that stuff out there. It's September. We're having our Indian summer. Actually, September is November. It feels like September. It's still having a summer-like weather here in San Francisco. I've been out riding around and basically just going from one place to another. Stealing a couple of hours to put this podcast together, finally. You might hear the sound of kids having their bath in the background, but that's just the way it goes in my busy, harried life. Okay, this week we're going to talk about going to work on your bike. Say you work in a big office park in the suburbs and you live in the city like a lot of people here do. And a lot of people do the reverse commute out of San Francisco down to South San Francisco, which is a semi-suburban industrial city to the south. There's a lot of office parks down there, big campuses full of... Biotech seems to be the industry du jour down there these days. The people who work at Genentech, the corporation voted the best corporation to work at, according to, some magazine. And it does seem like a pretty good place. They went, management went and bought everybody an iPod Nano, so they're all running around searching for podcasts to listen to. And the guy that runs the bike club, they have a bike club there. There's thousands of people working at this place. And a bunch of people got together and have a bike club. Dan Sherman runs, is the president there, and he sent me an email and said, why don't you do a podcast about our bike club? So I'm going to do it. We're going to talk about riding to work in a group and doing the commute. It's a 15-mile commute or so. It took about an hour and a half to do it. It was raining, but we got about 6 people to show up. And it was pretty nice, and sometimes I wished I worked in a place where a lot of people rode bikes. So, without too much talk, I'm going to go right into it. We all met over at Muddy Waters, which is a cafe on Valencia Street here in the city, and we all got caffeinated and headed south. So we're sitting here on Valencia Street at Muddy Waters Cafe, getting ready to go to Genentech with the Genentech. What's the name? First, what's your name?
Dan Sherman.
Dan Sherman, you're the president of the...
I recently took over from Ellen Campbell. Yeah.
Of the Genentech Bicycle Club.
Yes.
Why does the Genentech Bicycle Club need a president?
Because otherwise, you know, it's kind of all volunteer and things don't get done. You know, and it's good to get people together and get them biking.
And who else is here? What's your name?
I'm Teresa Nicoletto.
And you just started riding out here?
I did. I just started riding, and I did an MS bike waves to Juana Miclista. I did a bike ride with the Genentech Bike Club and got really into it and decided to start riding every day. So.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so we're going to follow you on your ride. And we also have Winnie and Eric. And there's a few people here that are sort of standing around drinking coffee, getting caffeinated. And... we'll get ready to go. And we're off down Valencia Street.
We've got, let's see, 6 people including me, which is not bad for a rainy day. Anybody who didn't come today is probably really kicking themselves now because the streets are starting to dry up and it's not really raining right now.
You're gonna sweat anyway, right?
Yeah. So Teresa, how long have you been doing this? In September, you just recently bought a bike, I hear, as a result?
Yeah, I bought it a couple of weeks before the MS bike ride.
What did you get? You got a Jamis?
I got a Jamis, yeah. And it was basically the special at Sports Basement. It was like the cheapest, best bike that they had.
Looks functional.
Yeah, it is. It's a great bike. And I promised myself if I keep up with the biking for 6 months, I'll save so much money in gas and maintenance on my car that I'm going to upgrade myself to a bike.
So what's our route, do you know?
You know what, I go a different route when I go. I usually cut through Cruz de Chavez and go through Industrial Park, but when I go with these guys, they go a different route, so.
Yeah, I heard something about McLaren Park or something.
Yeah, it's beautiful going through there, but I only went once before, so I don't really remember. Like their own, you know, route, so we all take turns. That's really nice. The fastest.
Yeah, the fastest.
The
most traffic, right?
Yeah, you know what? There is a lot of traffic, but
I'm not sure why it is. I don't know if this is true everywhere, but in San Francisco, in the Bay Area, where are we going? In the Bay Area, it seems like your choice is either a lot of traffic or a lot of hills.
Bright yellow jacket. I have a bell that I had to just take off when it fell off. And I have a backlight. I have a huge light for my front.
What kind of accidents have you had?
Well, I haven't had accidents. I've had a lot of near misses.
Yeah, that's different.
Yeah, no. I haven't, knock on wood, I haven't had any accidents. So it's just a matter of, I think, okay, so then they're not seeing me. I have to do something else. Yes. And it's, and it totally makes sense. I should have started out that way, Well, it definitely... when you ride a bike, it makes you more conscious of other bikers when you're in your car. At first I didn't, as a person who was driving a car, I didn't get the whole critical mass and it really annoyed me.
Uh-huh. That's interesting.
Yeah, but then once I've been biking, I'm like, you know what? People have to really understand that they can't come so close and they can't do, So now I totally get it. Only after riding quite a bit.
There's nothing like close calls to radicalize you, is there?
Yeah, totally.
I guess that's what binds us, is the sense of shared danger or something.
Yeah. Well, hello.
So I guess it's kind of key to bring new people in, is to like create these groups that can sort of suck people in.
Yeah, this just shows people that it's doable.
Yeah, what made you do it? Did you know somebody?
I heard somebody told me a bike to work, and I said, oh, well, I want to go with you once this day. So somebody took me up on it, so.
That's good.
It doesn't seem, it seems like it's such a long ride, but it's really not. What do you think about it? The other nice thing is you can eat anything you want. No more counting calories.
Yeah, that's
burning so many.
We're going down San Jose Avenue. This is the... We're going down this major street here that's got a really nice bike lane on it. The San Jose Avenue Coalition came together, and with the help of the Bike Coalition, we got these really nice bike lanes. So we just went down like this real traffic sewer, but you can hear it, but it's not... They don't clean the gutters too well, but it's really nice. You can actually get through this traffic without a big... You can actually conduct a radio interview at the same time. There's a stop sign that says stop, and then somebody put a sticker up that's polluting our air. Stop polluting our air. Taking a ride on Cayuga after heading under the freeway. From traffic sewer to bicycle paradise here. So let's see, Teresa's riding ahead, let's look at what she's got. She's got a Jend. She's got a rack, it looks like a Blackburn rack on the back, with a Jend bag on the top. She's wearing a nice, smart-looking red jersey.
Wearing
I assume she'll change when she gets to work. What are you wearing again?
I'm wearing one of these wool under things that you can get, sports wool from Sports Basement, and a fine Genentech jersey-style vest that my friend Alex Abbas made a cool design with DNA running down the sides.
Yeah. Double helix strand there.
Yeah, and because you got to represent.
Let's represent for our gene.
That's right. And I just wear jeans, usually. You know, depending which bike, sometimes I'll ride my bike that has equipment pedals, in which case, a lot of times I'll leave dress shoes or, you know, better shoes at work, because they're actually kind of bulky and they're a little hard to carry.
You think you'd be required at Genentech to wear jeans?
For a while, we had a slogan that was, work those jeans. Yeah, so with your podcast, actually, the reason that I ended up emailing you and talking about interviewing some of the people on this ride is well, two things. One, you know, this kind of connects. We're in South San Francisco, and it's actually a big company down in South San Francisco, one of the major employers down there. I think it's really interesting to try to connect the great bike routes all over the city to a little bit further south, so we can start connecting it to the peninsula.
That's what the San Jose bike lanes were about when we were working on those, the San Jose Avenue bike lanes.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we really believed our propaganda, but I guess it was true.
But no, there's a good number of people that ride down there. And, you know, if you build it, they will come.
Yes.
You know, more people will ride.
Induced traffic is what they call it. So we're going out to the suburbs today, right? We're leaving the city. We're doing a reverse commute.
Oh, no, it's the industrial city. It's South San Francisco.
South San Francisco, yes.
No one would call it a suburb.
Is it a city, though? I mean, would you say it's a city? What's the density like?
You know, the density is fairly mixed. It's a lot of, in the past, it was warehouses and industry. And then off of the highway, it's got a reasonable core for a city. But it really doesn't have great bike routes.
So it's not like Cupertino or something, or Millbrae even.
No, well, I mean, like, you've seen as you go along the highway.
We've had a request to stop at the park to remove clothing.
Okay, oh, good idea.
Never mind.
Just as it starts to rain again.
I know, right? Nice. Just right on cue. What do you,
Bikescape. Bikescape.blogspot.com.
Nice. I've checked out two blogs.
Yeah.
One is some guys up in Davis.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember what it's called.
Bike Talk Radio.
Bike Talk Radio?
Yeah.
So I've been checking them out, which
yes.
has been pretty fun.
And then, they actually rebroadcast two of my shows.
I was
very proud of that. Yeah, about LA Bike Summer.
Oh, fantastic.
Have you checked out the bike show out of London?
No.
That's an excellent show.
I'm just getting turned on to this.
Yeah.
Right, I just think...
The podcasting thing?
The podcasting thing, it's just fantastic.
Yeah.
It's so interesting. I've been downloading politics, I've been downloading education, news, things like NPR does a Life on Earth hour segment on the weekends, which I miss often. The radio I listen to in my car only. And so having podcasts is fantastic. It's great.
All right, we're entering McLaren Park over by the baseball diamonds. An interesting way to get to work.
I was saying I was a little bit bummed because I wanted the podcast to be on a sunny, brilliant day.
Oh, you know, really? The rain adds a little. I can find lots of songs about rain to go with this.
Definitely, but the thing is that what we want to try to get is fair weather bikers. That's perfectly fine. It takes more work to bike every day and bike in the rain, but you know,
well, those are the ones I want to talk to because. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but now when people listen to this and the ones that just monitor the email but don't ride, they'll see, oh, you actually can ride when it's raining out.
Yeah, no,
and
totally,
have fun too.
I just want people to see how nice it is. You know, just if we get people to do fair weather biking, that's still once a week that somebody's not driving in, and also they'd like it. I mean, look at Teresa.
Oh yeah.
She just, you know, she tried it and she's.
She's inspired.
In the best way.
She keeps buying new safety equipment. But this is, you know, we're riding through McLaren Park here through the baseball diamonds, and it's even in the rain, it's got to be better than riding in the, driving a car stuck in traffic on the 280 right now. Is that how you would do it on the Highway 280 or 101?
Yeah, you'd probably be still waiting to get on the on-ramp.
Yeah, and that would not be
filling
fun.
Filling up for the first trains.
Everybody would be listening to KGO radio. Everybody's got the same radio station stuck in their cars.
The best they'd be listening to KGO.
I'm very negative about the driving thing. I should probably chill out. Lots of people enjoy driving to work. So, Ellen.
So, John.
My old friend Ellen actually knew somebody on this ride. What do you do at Genentech anyway? Are you a scientist?
No, I do logistics and planning.
Are you going to save us from the bird flu?
Yes.
Oh, good. Thank God. I was worried about that. We're still in the city of San Francisco, aren't we?
We're on the border.
Yeah, because it feels pretty suburban already.
Yeah, we're on the border of San Francisco and Daly City.
Yeah, the ride gets spread out. Can't actually see the people up front anymore. They got past two red lights ahead of us. This is a four-lane street, but it looks like it could easily accommodate six lanes. That's what he said, but you know what? I think this is inspirational, too.
Yeah, that's what I told myself. It shows that people are intrepid and they'll bike even when it's raining.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
And it's not even that intrepid, really. I mean,
no.
I mean, look, we're just a couple of whips, right?
When we used to ride to work, we ride on the dirt. We ride down to where the railroad tracks are and then across a super fun site after breaking through a hole in the fence that somebody had left. So this is nothing. Now they have a nice bike path.
I see blue sky up ahead.
Yeah, I know.
Followed by lots of really dark gray sky. Everybody's waiting at the 7 Mile House, featuring the famous 7 Mile Burger. Hey, this place goes back to 1876. What are other ways? You can also take BART to South San Francisco nowadays, too, right?
Yeah. You can also put your bike on the shuttle to Glen Park BART again.
Oh, you can?
Yes.
So Genentech has a shuttle that goes to Glen Park BART, which is in my neighborhood in the city.
Yeah.
And then there's also, you can ride to South City BART station, one of those new BART stations.
So you can take, I've done it before, you can take BART with your bike to South City and then just ride through South City to the other side.
And you're not restricted by the commute hours. You can bring your bike on all the trains.
Because
you're doing the reverse, yeah.
Out that way.
What other businesses are there out there besides Genentech?
There's a lot of biotech.
A lot of biotech?
Yeah, there's Core, Gentech, and I think Amgen's still out there.
Amgen.
A couple other ones. There used to be a lot of freight forwarding out there, a little bit less. UPS is out there. Like the big UPS hub. It's right across the street from Genentech. Uh-huh. Oh, and the UCSF laundry.
Well, this is a pretty healthy ride down to Genentech. It's a lot longer than my ride to Berkeley.
Yeah. That's why I don't do it every day.
And I'm sweating a little bit, but I think it's because I'm wearing all this rain gear.
Yeah. It's nice, though. Actually, I like it better in the winter because in the summer, you bike in and it's nice, you know, it's summer. You bike home into a horrible headwind. And like last night, we biked home. You know, it's dark, but there's no headwind. We're so happy.
So we're passing all these office parks all of a sudden. Here's Intermune. Weird. Intermune sounds like a competitor to that's the kind of biotech.
Yeah, I don't know what Intermune does.
We got a beautiful view of the bay here. Big sunbeam going down into the, coming out of the clouds into the bay. And you can see the rain coming down around the side. I'm sorry, but anybody who stayed home today really should be regretting this because it's just beautiful out here. There goes Caltrain, headed down the peninsula. That's all wave. Caltrain is the bike-friendly train, unlike BART. Ellen's giving us a thumbs up.
People make friends on Caltrain, make running partners, have parties on Fridays.
Yeah, I know. Fridays, they all drink beer.
Yeah.
Can't drink beer on BART. Oh, my God. And look at this lake here. This little bird reserve here, swamps on the right, railroad tracks on the left. Woohoo, down the hill. Too bad there's a stop sign there.
This is nice. I mean, at the end of our ride, we get to ride by this lagoon here towards South San Francisco, and it's beautiful. There's cranes and things. And then later on, we'll go along the bay for a little bit.
Yeah, I never even noticed the swamp here.
We prefer a lagoon.
Sorry, it's known locally as cesspool, but we try not to call it that.
It's a beautiful cesspool. Too bad it's surrounded on all sides by freeway. That's why I've never been here before, but it is still
there's
nice.
There's a culvert in the bay, so it has a very fresh, you know, it has a tidal flow to it.
Huh?
So it's pretty fresh that way. I think I would drink it.
Is it human made?
No.
I bet it used to be filled with oysters at one time. The oysters were so plentiful at the turn of the last century that you could go into any bar in San Francisco and they'd have oysters, free oysters on the bar for you. What do you eat in the morning before you go on one of these rides?
You know, don't go by me.
No, I want to go by you.
I got my coffee in the morning and that's what I eat. And I actually stick it in my water cage and it lasts for a while. I actually lost the top now. But especially on a day like today.
So you don't like carb up or any of that stuff. You're just wearing jeans. You're just commuting to work. It's not a big...
I've got some extra stuff I can work on right here.
He's pointing at his belly, yes.
And so...
So do I.
I don't really have to worry about that too much. And, you know, there's coffee at work, and that helps warm you up, and you get breakfast there as well. And, of course, a quick shower. We're lucky. We have, not in all the buildings, but in some of the older buildings, we have showers, and they also have storage facilities there, you know, like lockers. And we're starting to talk with facilities to try to make sure that some of the newer buildings have showers as well. I think they're holding off because there's supposed to be like a sports center that's built. That won't be for a while, but that would make it all a lot easier. That would be great.
Yeah, Ellen says things are really coming along with the new bike plans are being hashed over there.
There's lots of plans. Implementation is always a very different thing. It's not like, I mean, San Francisco is an amazing place because we really do have an incredibly receptive government, and we have the Bike Coalition that really does a lot. In South San Francisco, it's not like that. We don't even have official bike routes. And so with official bike routes, you can then get matching funds to go ahead and stripe them and have bike lanes. And I know some people don't believe in bike lanes, those kind of things, but for beginning bikers, it's a difference between them feeling comfortable biking from Caltrain over to Genentech.
This is a lovely bike lane right here. This feels like another lane.
Yeah, no, this is nice.
It's like a lane that cars aren't allowed into.
And this particular route, for the most part, is pretty good. Unfortunately, like I said, from Caltrain, we really need to do some work. And I think that'll slowly be addressed. It's good for South San Francisco. It makes sense. More people will move there to work at Genentech if it's a nice, comfortable commute, if it doesn't seem separate from the South San Francisco town in general.
So that's what's key, is getting people to live near their work so they don't have to drive, I guess. You create a bike infrastructure and a transit infrastructure.
Yeah, it's true, and it's all relative, you know. Whether I live in the city and I live in the Mission District instead of all the way on the Marina and I'm coming over to Genentech versus being over in the East Bay versus the people that are right here in South San Francisco. I think, you just move a little bit closer, it actually makes a huge difference. Even if you drive, you know, I know that's not super popular on this podcast, but even if you drive, you're still driving a lot less.
Just for the record, I don't think Bikescape is anti-driving.
No.
Just as anti-driving as a way of life.
No, and I think that's exactly right. It's awareness of what you're choosing to do and not.
Of course, personally, I never drive. But
that's good. I have a lot of
I might one day. I did in the past, and I might in the future.
You know, it takes practice.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why this group is really great, because you're able to suck people out of the general population and sort of give them the baby step, the little push they need to get that baby step out into the world.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, I'm all about the fair weather biker, because, you know, it's somebody, you fair weather bike for a few years, and then you decide, yeah, I can do it more often. Yeah. I can do it in the rain, and I can do whatever.
Yeah. Are we done?
Right.
Maybe you should.
So there's different routes. There's like you can follow along. It crinkles along the water.
It's
much longer, but it's pretty.
And it's good for birding.
Shall we?
All right.
Oh, so you are coming along.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome, right on. Head them out. Yeah. Head them up. Head them out.
Who picked that seafoam?
I don't know. Dan says this is a city, but to me it looks like suburbs, industrial suburbs. And here we are at the big Genentech parking garage on the right. How many parking spots are there here, Dan?
You know, they continue to build more and more. It's actually, there's a huge effort to build more parking here.
That's kind of stupid, right?
Well, you know, I think they're trying to address alternative transportation. It's just not as high a priority as personally I think it should be. And one of the things that they're considering that I think really will happen, and they're working towards it, is to get a new ferry shuttle that will come out to Oyster Point, so a whole new station there. And I think that would be awesome, because there are a lot of people that commute all the way from the East Bay, but I think that'll be interesting. And I also am hoping that they will improve the bike routes a little bit from the ferry over to here, so that there's not then a shuttle that you have to take from the ferry. So one of the things that the bike club is kind of, we're going to put out are stickers that are a lot like the bicycle coalition's One Less Car, that will say One Less Parked Car. And hopefully then, when our bikes are in our offices or whatever, you know, people will take pause because they've been circling around looking for a parking spot here and realize, oh, maybe this isn't kind of a pain to me. This is one spot that I can park my car in. They're making an extra effort not to be bringing their cars in. And I should be a little more sympathetic and think, instead of thinking, God, what the hell has he got his bike in there for? You know?
So Genentech, I'm really out of breath now. Genentech is this vast campus. We've been on it for about 5 or 10 minutes now, connected by all these roads, all these buildings, little signs, building 32 and 33 over here. Dan works on one of the nicer looking ones.
Yeah, I only got 24.
Okay.
Eric's going to 24.
Because there's showers in the
shower there.
Oh.
There aren't any in these new buildings.
The new buildings don't have showers.
Which is too bad. And an oversight.
Yeah.
Not taking really all the considerations, all the possible uses into effect.
Yeah.
Which is too bad.
Well, it's got plenty of parking.
Actually, that's an interesting question to ask Nelson Nielgaard is, how much does it cost to put, because I actually heard it's really expensive, but not unreasonable to put showers into buildings.
Uh-huh.
Just curious, like the cost.
After?
No, during.
Well, I know that, I don't know about outdoor parking, but indoor parking costs $30,000 per space.
$30,000 per space, no fluid.
No fluid.
Or about something
and,
like that.
And it holds usually about four, that's what I'm talking
about.
So that's
about,
like
brand new, back there.
Brand new, and it was full yesterday at 10:30 when I got here.
Do you have
not
to pay
a single
for parking?
Space.
I guess
no,
not.
It's free, but not a single space there. So we have now, I mean, you know, it's obviously this whole lot before they built these 2-3 years ago was all parking.
So the price of a shower and a bike lane is, you know, when you compare it against the price of parking, the high cost of free parking.
All right, Dan. See
you later, Eric. Nice meeting you.
Thanks for coming with us.
Yes, it was really fun. Much better than going to work.
Yeah, I bet.
I'll have to call sick and do that more often.
And the segment suddenly ends. So it was a nice ride. It was raining. It was kind of crappy weather out, and it was hard to record, and it was, I guess that recording has a little bit of DIY charm to it, doesn't it? So I hope you, if you, if it bored you, I hope you fast-forwarded it, and I hope if you didn't, it was interesting. But so anyway, the ride was over. Everybody went to work, and lucky me, had the rest of the day off. So I went and I took the day off for this podcast. And I rode down the hill and took the train back, the Caltrain, which is the commuter train that runs down all the way to San Jose from San Francisco. Cost $2. They have a car that is only for bicyclists, and you can bring your bike on board, and it's really nice. You can they have little bungees that attach the bike to the side of the wall, and it was about a 15-minute ride back to where I started, actually beyond where I started, over by the ballpark in San Francisco. I killed some time, had a little breakfast, and then I went to Nelson Nygaard and Associates, since I had the rest of the day off, and I interviewed Adam Millard Ball, and he works for these consultants, Nelson Nygaard and Associates, that actually have been working for Genentech, and they also work for various cities, city agencies, and they do transportation planning, and they're very interesting. And since I'm running short on time, I'm going to go right into that interview. So here goes. Okay, we are here at the 13th floor of the old Call building. Isn't this the old Call building?
I'm not sure what it was the old one, but this was one of the first skyscrapers in San Francisco, actually. It was built just after the 1906 earthquake.
Just before the earthquake?
No, just after the earthquake. And so this block of market was completely flattened.
Oh, because I've seen pictures of this building with flames coming out of the windows. Oh. Maybe that was a different building.
Maybe it was a fire at a different time.
Feeling very safe in a building that's been pre-earthquaked. Anyway, so that's the geographical reference. We're right across and down the street from Lotus Fountain, where the earthquake survivors from 1906 gather every morning, every year, on the anniversary of the earthquake. And we're in the offices of Nelson Nygaard and Associates. And what is it you do here?
We're a transportation firm, and we specialize in transportation planning for livable communities. And so we work with cities, with transit agencies, with developers, to try and make sure that as many as possible, they can walk, they can bike, they can take transit, and allow very urban, livable development that isn't so auto-oriented and so dependent on cars.
That's what people call that's a short description of the new urbanism, I guess.
New urbanism is certainly one part of this. New urbanism is primarily talking about the urban design and architectural style, and it's very pedestrian-friendly. Although there's certainly some new urbanist projects which are very auto-oriented, just as there's some projects which are great, and they're not self-consciously new urbanist, but they are very much in that mold of thinking, infill projects in cities. And even here in San Francisco, some of the development that's proposed under the Better Neighborhoods plans, for example in Market Octavia, is great examples of that.
Yeah, so you work with cities, with city governments, local planning departments, and with corporations maybe for... Well, this morning we took a bike ride out with the Genentech Bike Club. And went out. We started in Valencia on Valencia Street, rode out to South City, South San Francisco, and we ended up out at this campus, I guess you'd call it, the Genentech. I don't know, it must have been about 30 buildings separated by parking lots with these roads coursing through to connect them all. Each building had a number. What kind of work would you do with companies like that?
So much that cities and transit agencies and government in general can do by themselves. At some point, they're also dependent on the decisions that are taken by developers when they're designing a project, and corporations when they're once they've moved in. And certainly, some of the larger corporations, such as Genentech, and there's other good examples, some of the universities like Stanford are also very proactive, actually taking a lot of steps to make it easier for their employees, their students, their visitors to walk to work, to bike to work, or to take the bus. And I mean, partly it's from a culture of being a good corporate citizen, but there's also some self-interest involved as well, because the default in a lot of places is to provide every employee with a free parking space. Mm-hmm. But that can cost, each parking space in a parking structure right now in San Francisco runs $30,000-$40,000 per space and up. And so it can be much more cost effective for them to encourage their employees not to drive to work, and then they don't have to pay for a parking space.
Yeah, so there's a bit of an issue. I guess there was an oversight. Some of the new buildings were built without showers and then bicycle facilities, and maybe, I don't know if it was an oversight or if they decided to cut back on costs, but when you think about the cost savings of providing for bicycle amenities, I know you were an expert on parking, so I wanted to push you in that direction a bit.
Showers and for bicyclists, bike parking, it's a very cost-effective way of getting more people, getting your employees to work. But that's one side of it, and the other side of it is just not giving what is a really valuable resource. Car parking spaces away for free. And so some companies charge for parking. They charge employees, say, $5 a day. And that's not just in the city, that's also in some more suburban locations. For example, the NASA Research Park down near Mountain View, where Google is just about to sign a lease. Mm-hmm. Even these more suburban business parks can also charge for parking. And if they're not willing to charge for parking, if they think that's not a good move for employee relations, or if they have some union issues, they can still reward people who choose not to drive through giving them a cash payment or a transit subsidy or a bicycling subsidy equivalent to the value of the parking space. It's called parking cash out, and it's really effective in encouraging people not to drive. Around California, we're seeing 20% and higher reductions in the percentage of people who drive on their own to work.
So in a dream world, you probably, in your dream world, you probably wouldn't want to build a company like Genentech on a campus out in the suburbs or in the industrial city, as they call South San Francisco. In your dream world, how would you situate a company like Genentech, and how would you work it out?
Well, companies like Genentech, they do have specific requirements which their facilities planners need to try and adhere to. Particularly for research and development, they do need a lot of space, and they want to be together in one building. And so, obviously, the ideal is to get them as close as possible to a transit hub, whether it's down on the peninsula, or be a Caltrain station, or a busy bus corridor like El Camino. But we have to be realistic. That's not always possible, and so. There is still a lot that these corporations can do, even if they are on the east side of Highway 101, shuttle connections to BART and to Caltrain, and bike facilities and assistance for carpoolers trying to find their employees a carpool partner. These are all some of the things that that these corporations can do. Although they're never going to get as few people driving as you would in, say, downtown San Francisco or downtown Oakland.
I guess Caltrain allows bicycles on board. You can take Caltrain. It works pretty well at the marriage of bicycles and trains. I'm always pushing that because it works so well. Because one of the reasons people don't like to take transit is because the train doesn't go from their house to their work, and the bicycle is a nice link to help you with that. Have you had any experience with BART trying to facilitate getting bicycles, making it more of a multimodal bicycle oriented? How can I say this?
Yeah. Well, BART does have an issue with crowding on its trains at peak hours. So the system, particularly between through the Transbay Tube between San Francisco and Oakland and through San Francisco, it's pretty much at capacity at peak, and there isn't really the space to allow people to allow bicycles on board. And so what... Is a good approach in these circumstances, and BART is doing this, is to focus on the bike parking at the stations. And this can be both at your home end, so you can bike from your house to the BART station or the Caltrain station. You have a secure bike parking that's either a locker or it's a rack that's really in clear view of the station agent.
Inside the paid area, yeah.
Yeah, either inside the paid area, that's best, but even outside the paid area, as long as it's in a place of a lot of people walking past and where the station agent can see it, that is a pretty secure place to leave your bike.
And Caltrans? Caltrain, I mean?
Yeah.
And Caltrain is doing a lot of the same, although a lot of the Caltrain stations aren't staffed. And so really focusing on places for bike racks that are visible, that's really important. And what at the other end, and again for places like Genentech, which are more than walking distance from BAD or Caltrain, certainly Caltrain and BART have had great success with bike stations at some of their busiest stations, such as Palo Alto and Berkeley, and there's a relatively new one at Embarcadero, and there's plans for one at Fourth and King. And what that allows people to do is leave their bike there overnight, because it's a staffed place, and so there's a security that people can leave a second bicycle there at the other end, and so they can have two bikes. They can bike in to BART or to Caltrain, right. And then they can take the train, and then they can bike at the other end without needing to take up a lot of space on the train for their bike. And obviously, in an ideal world, they'd be able to take their bike on the train, and both BART and Caltrain, BART allows that at off-peak times, but realistically, there's not going to be the space for that at the at rush hour.
Well, Caltrain, I took Caltrain for the first time today back from South City with my bike, and it was beautiful, $2, and I was at King Street in 15 minutes from South City, which was just amazing. And I guess when the new terminal comes in, we'll actually be able to take Caltrain right into the city, which will definitely help. But are there any plans to, do you have any knowledge of what's going on with the bike plans down in South City, or some of the people from Genentech were complaining about the lack of bike lanes or any kind of bike facilities in that part of the peninsula?
Yeah, I don't know about specifically about South City, about the bike lanes, but obviously that's a really important part of the equation, is not just having a safe place to park your bike at the station and at work, but also a way to get between the two. And this is something that is very much in the control of the local cities, but certainly BART is being very proactive around some of its stations and trying to help with some of the planning and identify where these types of improvements make sense.
Okay. Thanks. I'd love to have you again on the show.
Okay, yeah, it'll be a pleasure.
Okay, well, thank you, Adam Millard-Ball. Nice having a Scottish accent on the show. I know we have at least one listener in Scotland, so they find their way here. A Scotsman. Anyway, what's going on? Running short on time, but I'm going to just quickly go to the schedules here. What's going on in San Francisco? There's going to be the Winterfest. The SFBC, the Bicycle Coalition, every year has a really great party. There's bands, movies, a great silent auction. Let me turn this music down a bit. Silent auction where you can get lots of great art, and bicycle swag for your bicycle, and bicycle stuff for your bicycle. So you check that out sometime, and that will be, let's see, not sometime, I actually have a date on that. Sunday night, December 4th, the 10th annual Winterfest. It's a Velo Wonderland with bike gear, art from local artists, music, free food, and yes, beer. All the beer you can drink. All your favorite SFBC friends and characters, and the best part of this fundraiser helps keep our bicycle advocacy going through the cold and wet winter months. So that'll be happening. There's no date here. There's no place. Let's just check here. Well, look at the blog, bikescape.blogspot.com. I'll bet it'll be at Somme Arts Gallery like it always is, but I'll post something on the blog about that. Tonight's the 14th, but tomorrow night, if this podcast is up by then, you may want to try and get to the Alameny Boulevard bike lanes. There's a big push to get bike lanes there. Great news, supervisor Gerardo Sandoval has introduced legislation, so you may want to write your supervisors if you live in San Francisco. And check the blog. There'll be a place to link to send email. And Cesar Chavez Street, traffic calming. That will also be tomorrow, so you'll probably miss that. But keep your eye on this, because that was part of our route down to South City, was down Cesar Chavez, and it's talk about traffic sewers. It's pretty nasty, and you should really look into. There have actually been some accidents and some bad things happen on that street. So if you are interested in volunteering to help out with the traffic calming and bike lanes on Cesar Chavez, talk to Fran Taylor, ftaylor@cmp.com. And you can also check out at www.sfbike.org/Cesar Chavez. And I'm going to stop there for San Francisco. What have we got going on in New York? Time's up. Oh, I just want to tell you about this one thing in New York. The Cranksgiving Alley Cat, Saturday, November 19th at 2 p.m. at the Plaza across from the Javits Center, 11th Avenue and 36th Street. Alley Cats are always fun, and I will also post a link to a great movie of a crazy alley cat race in New York. So don't miss that if you have never seen the Die Gave movies. Louis Buñuel, he has some great movies. He's a very skilled bicyclist and a skilled cameraman, and he's able to combine the two feats to create this wonderful movie that nobody else could make, and it's really hard to watch, especially if you're watching. You know, you just see part of the frame. You don't see the whole thing. What's going on? And it can be kind of intense. And he's a great filmmaker. So check him out. The Prospect Park Moonlight Ride, all those regular rides are happening in New York, Saturday, November 12th, 9 p.m., Grand Army Plaza. The Critical Mass, Brooklyn Critical Mass, on Friday, November 11th at 7 p.m. Okay, that's over, but that's always on the middle Friday of the month. And, of course, last Friday of the month, they have the Manhattan Ride in San Francisco and Manhattan. It's an early Friday this month. Last Friday of the month comes early in the month, so don't miss it. Another little bit of news. A new podcast is out there. Do check it out. It's called Gear Noise, and it's about mountain biking, and it covers an area that none of the other podcasts seem to cover. He goes out, and he's like Bikescape. He gets out on the road there and checks things out and doesn't sit behind a microphone in his bedroom, and it's pretty... pretty nice. He covers a couple of races and interviews some racers, and if you're into that, you should check him out. His name's Ezra. It's called Gear Noise. Check him out on iTunes, and if you can't find him there, take a look at the blog. I'll put a link to his iTunes location. Okay, well, that was a long podcast, and long and in the making and in the playing and in the listening, I'm sure, too. But I hope you all enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it myself. And everybody, be sure to send me emails. Let me know what's going on in your life. I'd love to hear feedback. And if you have ideas for shows or whatever, or you just want to tell me how much my show sucked, go ahead and tell me. I can take it. I'd like to hear about it. I'd like to hear all the criticisms, positive and negative. So talk to you later. Take the lane, everybody. Bye.